B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch them.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program, Felger and Maserati on a Friday. You know what that means, Anthony?
Agenda-free.
It's agenda-free. It's going to be a lot of Patriots-Chargers, a lot. However, there are some things that happened last night, both with the Celtics and the Bruins, that I think deserve mention. And so we shall mention them, and you are allowed to call on that or whatever you want, because we will stay true to the tenets of Agenda-Free Friday, which, stand by, is sponsored by Touche, Jimmy. Very well. Agenda Free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda free. Choose from new cars, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles, Maz. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. They are the new sponsor of Agenda Free Friday. Thank you, and welcome in Bernardi Auto Group to Agenda Free Friday.
Yeah, Bernardi.
Jimmy, you may release the hounds. I am fully logged in to 617-779-0985. We have opening thoughts. When you're loaded up, I go to you, but we start. Maz, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go first. I was going to offer it up to Murray, but he's had a tough week, and he's wiping down, so he was going to yell at me anyway.
That is correct.
Yeah, so I'll begin with the Celtics. I said this on the program yesterday, that they had their best game of the season two nights ago at home against Indiana. They played extremely well in that game. I loved what I saw, particularly at the offensive end, and they've been good at that end now for a little while. But I also said you can't go to Miami and lose. No back-to-back excuses, no anything like it. You cannot go to Miami and lose and still have the benefit of that Indiana win. They completely took any momentum that they had, and they blew it up. And anyone who thinks that there is not some sort of internal issue with this Celtics team, all you needed to see was that Bleacher Report video that was, I think it was a fan behind the bench, right?
Yep.
Who took it on his or her phone.
Yep.
And it made it on the internet last night of Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown getting into it
near
the bench, and then Marcus Morris shoving Jaylen Brown.
There was a shove. Go
Absolutely
on.
There
Go
was.
On. Go
and
on.
Adam Himmelsbach of the Globe had a breakdown of the game that included a detail about that confrontation, that it was spawned by a trip down the floor about a minute earlier where Jaylen Brown missed a couple of layups and then loafed back on defense, and Marcus Morris said something at the end of it. And it's on our website at 98.5 The Sports Hub, by the way. And I look at that and say, there's still a thing here on this team between veteran guys and young guys. And sorry, but I know we're going to talk more about this later, but if we're talking about Morris versus Brown, to me, this one's easy. You have a veteran guy who's been maybe the most consistent player on the team this year.
Maybe nothing. He has been.
And a young guy who has been one of the biggest disappointments on the team this year. Gee, whose side do you fall on that one? So, look, to me, the Celtics, their issues are real. They are real, and they got to find a way to get rid of them, or they're going nowhere.
Murray.
NFL playoffs, 3-1 last week. Should have been 4-0, but thanks to that idiot Bears kicker, I have my one blemish. So on to the divisional round. NFC, Bears, Eagles, both have speed all over the field on defense, and they shut the Rams offense down towards the end of the season. Cowboys defense, no different, and they're certainly better than the Eagles, especially in the secondary. Jared Goff stinks. I'm taking the Cowboys. Saints were my preseason Super Bowl pick. I'm dug in. Even though the Eagles, I think, have a puncher's chance, I think they're going to give New Orleans a real scare. I don't even know how confident I feel about this game because Nick Foles is the son of the devil. I'm taking the Saints. AFC, something has to give when it comes to history with these pairings this weekend. The Chiefs haven't won a home playoff game since Joe Montana. It's 1993, right? Not 94. Either way, it's the early 90s. They can't win at home. They've never beaten the Colts in the playoffs. Even just in terms of stuff on the field, their calling card on defense is they can at least get to the quarterback. And the Colts gave up, I think it was 18 or 16 sacks this season. They didn't give up any to Houston last week. They have the best offensive line in football. The Colts have that it thing. I think they're going to go in there. I do think that they're going to end up beating the Chiefs. And in terms of history, something has to give, it feels like, with the Pats and Chargers too, because Phillip Rivers has never beaten Tom Brady. Their record here is awful. Phillip Rivers in the playoffs feels good for one or two turnovers. And on paper, I've been bullish about the Chargers. I said before the week, before you guys really broke my balls, I was taking the Chargers in this game, but I am not because I am spitefully picking the Pats, despite you both.
Spite pick.
But in terms of preparation, given the Pats the bye here, and I know that they lost the Jets 8 years ago, but I felt like they didn't take that team seriously. Remember, Wes Welker was making all the dumb foot jokes. He gets, you know, sat for a few series early. I just don't think that they took that Jets team seriously. Chargers team, they know what they have here. They know this is going to be a tough game. I do think it's going to be, you know, a roller coaster ride, kind of like how the Ravens game was 4 years ago in this round. But I don't know. I think we actually see the real Gronk maybe one last time.
So, Pats, and I'm sorry, who'd you have in the Kansas City game?
I have the Colts.
Okay. Pats, Colts, Saints, Cowboys.
Yep.
Another spite pick. Okay. Mine is Bruins. Last night, they played a really good hockey game against the Capitals, but lost again. And villain number one and number one on the S list should be Jaro Halak. He let up a goal. The Bruins fight and claw and fight and claw all night against a team they haven't beaten in how long? And Braden Holtby, I'm sorry, what's that phrase? Owns that ass. Braden Holtby owns your ass. They were out shooting him at one point like 22-8, and like they were all over Holtby. You know, nothing. They finally tie it in the, I guess it was the third, on that Krejci power play goal. And Jaro Halak allows a goal from, I don't know, 30 feet within a minute and a half, and there you go. So Halak killed them in that game. That is a goal that cannot happen. Cannot happen. Backup, starter, I don't care. You cannot let that goal up, okay? So that's the game. And they played really well. They stood up to that team, but it, you know, it felt like, all, you know, when the Caps only had eight shots, all were really good scoring chances. So Halak did make some saves early, but that goal cannot happen, cannot happen, cannot happen. What I'm interested in is the Lars Eller Brad Marchand thing. You'll remember opening night when the Capitals went up 7 or 8-0. Lars Eller celebrated in front of the Bruins bench in the third period, and the next time out, Brad Marchand found him and tuned him up. Little Marshmont dialed him up. Pounded him.
There's still video of it on our Facebook page if you scroll down. It's one of the great punches in the year in the league this year.
Squared him up. So last night, Lars Eller wants back at him, grabs him, drops his glove, spins him around, and Marchand did nothing. And for the first time, you know, we've talked about Marchand a lot. For the first time, and one of the rare times, I'm on Marchand's side. I was actually proud of him last night. Good job. Good job. And I'll explain why. But after the game, the Caps were pissed. They wanted Marchand to go and give Eller his rematch. Eller said, I don't think there's a lot of integrity in his game. Eller said, he obviously didn't want any part of it. Everybody saw, acting all tough, Lars Eller. Can't fight a guy that doesn't want to fight. Everybody saw what he is. I mean, yeah, I don't know what else there is to say. We got out of here with 2 points. We got what we wanted. TJ Oshie piled in, said I was a little let down that Marchand didn't drop his gloves, since the other way, Lars got jumped in the season opener. Marchand said, I really don't feel I need to try and prove anything. He plays maybe 10 to 12 minutes a night. I'm playing 20. So in a 1-0 game to go on the power play, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Bingo! Exactly. Exactly. Marchand's right. He owes Eller a rematch. There's no question about it. There's no question about it that he owes Eller another go. He owes it to him. But not in a 1-0 game that matters. You wait till it's 5-0. Then Eller goes out, then Marchand goes out, and they settle it. I mean, that was the circumstance of the first fight. It was 7-0. It wasn't costing anybody. The Bruins were playing well. They were fighting their way back into the game. They were fighting all night. Eller's a third, fourth liner. Again, 10, 12 minute a night guy. Marchand's the second best player. So that's not a fair fight, or that's not a reasonable exchange. Marchand was right. Marchand was right for the first time. I'm like proud of the kid. Good job. That's smart. But the next time it's a 4-0 game against the Caps, you owe Eller. And then let's see. If you duck him when it's 5-0, then okay. Then I'm with Eller and Oshie and the Caps.
I can't believe Marchand didn't that he took what he took from him without engaging.
Good job, Marchand.
He got pulled around by the jersey for a good, was it 10 seconds?
Was that growth? To your calls, as promised. Frank, what do you think of that? Quickly.
Well, look, I completely agree with everything you said, Mike. It wasn't the time or the place to score of the game, everything, yada, yada, yada. But as you guys know, being a man of honor in the game, I'm sorry. Marchand should have dropped the gloves with him, especially at home, and he should have either taken his ass kicking or given him an ass kicking. I'm sorry. I think he should have dropped the gloves with him in that instance.
Okay, I know because, and Frank, like you, I have some barbarian tendencies. I love the fight game. I'm pissed that it's gone from the game. And, you know, on that level, I would have liked to seen the, you know, I would have liked to see the rematch there. But that's not when you do it. That's not the same. That's not apples to apples. And Eller knows it. The little rat, little Canadian punk. He knows. He knows it's not the same. You don't take the fight at 1-0 or whatever. Was it 1-0 at the time or 2-1? It was a one-goal game.
No, I think it was 1-0.
It was a one-goal game, and the Bruins haven't beat that team in a long time. It's an important game for them. And that's so what? You're going to put Marchand 5 minutes against their fourth liner? No, you don't do it there. You don't do it there.
You know what I love, too, is like all of a sudden Lars Eller's a guy who's looking for retribution. Do you have any career fights Lars Eller has had? And this includes Marchand in the season opener?
I'm going to guess two.
Two is correct before this year. Two career fights. All of a sudden, he's the guy that's accusing someone of not dropping the gloves.
You're ducking me? Oh, shut up. Michael in Scituate on the Celtics and Jaylen Brown last night.
Get Jaylen Brown the hell out of Boston. In the last two games, I've watched this dink clang a jump shot off the side of the backboard and go up for a layup and hit the bottom of the rim. He's creating problems with the best players, and he's just log jamming the whole roster. Get him out of here.
Thoughts on Jaylen Brown?
Okay, so you know what? The shot off the backboard, the one under the net, doesn't really bother me. I actually think he's been playing pretty well lately, and I love this little step-back jumper thing he's got going on now. Like, off the dribble. I love it. But last night, to me, what bugs me about Jaylen Brown is the whole attitude. It's not the game. It's the attitude. 5 rings, we beat the Cavs, loafing back on defense after missing a couple of layups, and now he's going to take it up with a veteran player? This is my issue with the young guys on this team. You haven't won anything yet. You haven't accomplished anything. Where is this coming from, this attitude? You guys have done jack.
Okay, there's something to talk about with the Celtics last night and the Bruins last night. And Mookie Betts finally agreed with the Red Sox on something. First time. They didn't go to arbitration. For the first time, he and the team came to an agreement. That's a good sign going forward, maybe. It's a start, right? Start building a bridge, get a long-term deal with them.
Maybe.
So we've got all that on the table with, of course, Patriots Chargers, of course. Of course, that's a driver today. I just think there's little things worth doing. Coming up this hour, I have a giveaway for you. But coming up next, the press releases are ready to go. We've alerted the media. Maz is ready to make his pick. Are you ready to make your pick, Maz?
I am prepared.
Maz, finally. And so do you want me to send out the release first, or do you want to say it verbally first?
I suggest we do it simultaneously.
Okay.
I came in late. I mean, I just came in. I saw the NBC truck, Telemundo. They're ready.
They're out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, Murray. You're going small time. CNN was out there.
Alert the media. Maz is going to make his pick next.
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Maz.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Brady will come up to the line of scrimmage and take a knee. We're inside 40 seconds to go, and that is going to do it. And the Patriots are 18-0, and for the fourth time in 7 years, Super Bowl, here we come. The Patriots, the American Football Conference champions.
All right, so that's the last time the Patriots and Chargers met in the playoffs. What happens this week? And we'll play some old Patriots-Chargers sound. 2007 AFC title game. Here we are again, Pats Chargers in the postseason. What's going to happen? Maz has been withholding his pick all week long. because why? I don't know. He had to go over the film, or he had to down all the numbers.
He's playing up the big market tease.
Well, I don't know about that. So if you're watching on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, he's now cloaked because he's going to reveal his pick with not just verbal mentions, but an actual visual. So this is a TV, part TV thing. If you're listening on radio, you'll still get it.
So nobody can see yet, right?
Nope, no one can see yet. Okay. So Murray, of course, we'll send out the release simultaneously with the announcement. And of course, it deserves just a little introduction.
Time for Maz's pick.
Maz, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, reveal. Hey. It's the Patriots. He is the Patriots.
Okay, so look, I told you I'd have one good reason for making this pick.
Yep.
Okay, and this is ultimately my logic. Huge. I think it's huge. And I think it's huge for Brady. It's huge for Gronk. It's huge for Edelman. And so I look at those three guys, and I say an extra week to heal, an extra week to rest. And I think the bottom line is that you're going to get the best of Brady and Gronk and Edelman in this game. I really believe that. And so I'm picking the Patriots. I think it's a tight game. I think it's a dogfight, but I'm picking the Pats.
Who's the better team?
San Diego.
Yeah, the Chargers.
So how do you feel about picking a game based on, like, everything other than football?
Okay, but it's not just everything other than football. It's that I think the bye week for the health of Brady in particular, Brady and all three of them, I think the extra week, you're not going to get them any healthier than they are right now. And they're at home, and I like that. I like them in this spot. And so now, if they have to go on the road in the AFC Championship game, in fact, even if they're home.
I'll get you back on the dark side next week.
There's a good chance of that.
But you're going to wait to, well, we're going to have to wait all week.
I'm telling you, the bye week to me is absolutely huge. It struck me earlier in the week, and I said, Brady's got 2 weeks. 2 weeks to just chill, get healthy, get treatment, you know, get back to where he's physically can be. And I feel the same about the other two. And I just think you're going to see, and it may not even last the whole game, because I think by the end of the game, they're probably going to be sore again. But I think you're going to get two good, to me, you're going to see the Brady that you saw in the first half in Miami. That's what you're going
to
see.
Okay, I got the Chargers. And if it were the Texans, I'd have to wear the stupid Texans helmet and all of that. But I got the Chargers. I've explained it all week. We'll get back to the phones. These are Zoe's helmets. He wants to get the hell out of here, so we got to
take them off. Cutting off circulation of my brain.
That thing was huge on you, Mike. You look like Dark Helmet. It was right, enormous.
Back to your phones, as promised, on everything. Alan in Florida wants to weigh in on Pat's Chargers. Go ahead, Alan.
I do, and thank God for Mookie, by the way. Anyway, one thing that Mike, you don't understand, and Maz's pick, because I thought he was going to go for Joe DiMaggio's record of consecutive losses, but he disappointed me.
Shut up. Me too. He disappointed me too. But go.
That's not nice, man.
That was a joke. Go.
Okay. There's one thing that everyone forgets. The only thing that matters, Mike, one thing matters. They are at home. You can take all the stats. You can say who's the better team. They're at home. They're not going to lose. And when I remind you Monday how they blow this team out, that choke artist who almost blew a 20-3 lead with 5 minutes left last week at home in Foxborough, they will win going away.
Okay, it's possible. The home thing's huge. I'm not going to discount it. I think some of the other things might be overrated, the length of the flight, things of that nature. But we've run the numbers. Road teams in the playoffs since 1990 have a
330.
331.
One out of three. They win one out of three.
So, you know, of course, huge factor. I just think when you say who would win a game at a neutral site, and you know, a lot of people say the Chargers, but then pick the Patriots in the game. That's just sort of playing with fire because you're not picking the better team.
Sure. I think the Chargers are a more talented team. I do. But I also think that if this game were being played in Foxborough without a bye, I'd pick San Diego. I just think that, to me, I don't think Brady's play has slipped to the point where, like, he's done. I've never said that. But I think I've also said consistently, I think he's banged up. There's something wrong with him. And that extra week, I think they're going to have a good first half. And that they're going to have the lead, and then Diego's going to have a hard time catching up.
Jen DeFree, Tom in Alston wants to talk Celtics. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Matt. So I saw the video of the Marcus Morris, Jaylen Brown dust-up last night. I thought it was interesting how the whole team was bunched up, and Gordon Hayward was the only player standing maybe 15 or 20 feet away from the scrum. Now, before the game, Grandy and Max were talking about how other teams in the league fear facing Brown and Hayward coming off the Celtics bench. So my question to you guys is, do you think Brown and Hayward think they should be starters and not bench players, and do you think this is what has contributed to the Celtics sitting at fifth in the East right now? Thanks, guys.
Yes, yes, and yes. I mean, something like that. Jaylen Brown thinks he's something he's not. Jaylen Brown is not willing to accept a role where he defends and rebounds and runs the floor and does that. He's not willing to be it. He thinks he's already got six rings in his pocket. And Hayward was an all-star and a max contract guy. So he doesn't think, and he's said it. He says, I still don't see myself as a bench player. So they absolutely feel that way. Is it contributing to what's going on? The stat that, you know, interests me is that the Celtics this year are 2-5 on the second of back-to-backs. And last night was one of those tough back-to-backs.
Sure.
They got in, you know, 3 a.m, all that. But they're 2-5. Last year, and Jimmy, I don't have my notes in front. Was it 8-2 last year? They were 8-2.
That's correct.
8-2, the second of a back-to-back. Now they're 2-5. And I think if we go back one more year, their record was good, too.
They've been good in back-to-backs for a while now.
Like, they had these great numbers in back-to-back situations for years. Well, now you add two All-Stars. You're even deeper. How do you get worse in that spot? There's no team in the league that's deeper than you. I'm not saying you're the best team, but in terms of depth on paper, I don't know if there's another team. I don't think Golden State's second unit can rival yours. So how do you get worse?
Well, there's an easy answer for that. Some of your guys don't feel the need to play on the second night. And to me, that's what it is. And I get agitated with the young guys because young guys in a league are supposed to be the ones that play hard every night. A, they're younger and have more energy and all of that. B, they're trying to prove something. They're trying to prove that they belong. Somehow these guys went from 0 to 60 without hitting anything in between. Like, that's the part that drives me crazy. To me, you gotta earn it. I don't have respect for people who think they don't have to earn it.
Tyler and Lowell. Go ahead, Tyler. On the Bruins.
So the Bruins fought really well. I mean, I was in class, so I didn't get to watch the game. I listened to the end of the second and most of the third. So Martian did the right thing by not instigating with that fight, especially with his.
You got it all backwards. They instigated the fight. Martian didn't take it. I can't talk to someone about the Bruins game who didn't watch it. That's pointless. Eli in Exeter, what's your Bruins thought?
Yeah, so hi, guys. I'm a Bruins fan, and it's too bad that they couldn't pull it out last night. But from the perspective of just a hockey fan in general, I think that was a great game last night.
Sure, it was.
I don't think the NHL could have asked for much more as far as how that game went. It almost had like a playoff type of feel to it. I mean, not quite the level of play that you would get in the playoffs, but I thought it was really good effort by the Bruins. They had a lot of scoring chances, but, you know.
Any other goalie, they win that game. Meaning maybe any other goalie other than Holpe or Halak. No, but I was talking about Holpe there.
Yeah.
Any other goalie. He owns that ass. Ken Dryden. Carey Price. The numbers against Holpe are worse than they are against Montreal or Price.
Oh, yeah, no, they can't beat him.
The previous caller who didn't watch the game, his comment line said Rask. And I thought he was going to say, why not start Tuukka Rask last night? He's been playing really, really well. He's on a roll. And Halak hasn't been good for the last stretch, whatever that is.
I wondered that, too, and I have a theory.
Well, I mean, I thought it was the right call because look at Rask's splits against Washington. I mean, the team hasn't beaten him in 5 years, so that means Rask hasn't beaten that team in 5 years. So I'm sure if you put up the numbers there, they're not pretty. So why not try something else? And Halak was fine until that third goal, man. That just can't. That was brutal.
Oh, it was a horrible goal. Horrible. And again, the timing of it, given what the Bruins had to spend to get back into that game, to give up that kind of goal is like, you know, not to mention after the first one, they scored inside of a minute. And then you give up that one inside of a minute.
What's your theory on why Halak got the start?
So I think it's part his history with Washington, but also because of the run he's on, they protected him.
Right. Let's not get in the way of the hot streak.
Right. They protected him.
That's a good point.
They said, you know what? He's rolling now. Four in a row. The save percentage is .960. The goals he get in the last four games is .123, I think it is. He's been playing great. We're going to send him out there against these guys.
We continue with your calls on an Agenda Free Friday. Everything on the board. Here's an update from Murray.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, Chuck, we started this night talking about the Celtics and I asked you, have they got it figured out now that they've gone 15-5 over the last 20 games? And you said no.
A resounding no, because I don't know what type of team they are. I really don't. I don't think they know who their go-to guys are.
Kyrie, big first half, 17 points.
And they're down 20.
Yeah.
That's not good. I think that if the Celtics are going to win the Eastern Conference, I think they got to make a trade.
Barkley last night at halftime. Do you agree?
Yes. I agree 100%. I have felt this way for a while. They got to move somebody. You got a log jam there. It's not working. And, you know, Rozier and Brown are the easy guys to target because you can get something for him. Brown more than Rozier because Rozier only has the you know, rest of this season left, and then he's a free agent. But it's got to be one of those guys. You got to do something there.
You know who screws it all up? Is Marcus Morris. And let me explain. He's arguably been their second or third best player this
year. Sure, yeah.
So he's got to get the minutes. He's got to get the shots. The guy, you know, we tease him for being a vacuum. You know, the ball gets him and it sticks. Frankly, he can shoot as much as he wants as far as I'm concerned. He can shoot.
He can, yeah. He was like this last year for a stretch. It got worse later in the year because his percentage numbers went down.
Did it?
Yeah. But this season, he's been dynamite.
Terrific.
Yeah, dynamite.
So, Brown, Hayward, you're behind Marcus Morris. But let me ask you, what's the future of the team? Morris is gone. Unless you want to trade Jaylen Brown, who you spent the third pick on and is still cost-controlled to a point, your young future, unless you want to trade him and keep Marcus Morris, does that make any sense from a long-term team-building standpoint?
No, it doesn't.
So they
have to figure out what the hell they want to try to do this year then, because are you a championship team or not?
Right. Are you still building towards the future or is it this year? Because if it's this year, it's Marcus Morris. But if this is a 10-year plan, Marcus Morris kind of is in the way. I mean, he's not in your future. He was brought in as a compliment.
Sure.
And a great, I mean, they effectively swapped Avery Bradley for him, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
No, I mean, not effectively. That was the trade.
Yeah, it was one for one.
Another great move by Ainge, but it doesn't fit. Or he's blocking those guys. He should block those guys. I'm not telling you. You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, so to me, they got to think about that.
So the original plan, remember, was to have Morris come off the bench and be a second unit player and a scorer there.
He's too good. Or he's playing too well.
So that's the thing, is he's playing too well. But look, long term, to me, you can't debate that part of it.
So then you trade Morris.
Brown's a better choice long term.
You sell high on Morris.
So you do that now and essentially kind of tank the season?
That doesn't tank the season.
The way it's going?
That doesn't tank the season, because what you do is then you...
You keep him here and they figure this thing out. They can legitimately make a run for the title.
I think
you get rid of him, that diminishes it.
Not if Hayward or Brown get off their ass and with more minutes and more shots. And that's your future. That's who you've invested in.
So I'll tell you what I don't like about it, because now you're just enabling the behavior. The Jaylen Brown thing.
I mean, look, I'm not saying trade Marcus Morris. I'm just saying, like, to me, that's a tension point right there. That's like, they got to think about that. Morris is not long-term here. I don't think, unless you want to make him long-term here and you trade Jaylen Brown. But was that the plan?
Just that visual last night with that clip that ended up all over social media was so bad on so many levels. Like the caller said, Gordon Hayward's like off on a different island.
Okay, so you know what? I think that's overplayed. As far as I could tell, Stevens wasn't talking to the team at the point. Like, yeah, I think Stevens is one of these coaches. I think they all do this now. Like, they call a timeout, and the first half of the timeout, they go huddle with their assistants sort of on the floor while the players mill around, and then they come back in for that tail end of the timeout to talk to the team. So it wasn't like Stevens was addressing the team at the time, I don't think.
Okay, but what about the reaction from Kyrie Irving, who's looking at Jaylen Brown like, what are you doing, you idiot, you kid, shut up.
So that I'll buy. Want to hear more Chuck from last night?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead, number two.
They got all these good players, and they all want to score. And that's not a negative, but they're not making that transition where they're like, okay, I'm not going to score tonight.
I got to make a stop.
They got to get stopped. But they don't have guys like, they have guys who terrific. Like, Jaylen Brown could be an all-star. Jason Tatum could be an all-star. Kyrie's been an all-star. Gordon Hayward's been an all-star. Al Horford's been an all-star. But you don't look at any of those guys and say, well, they're a defensive stopper, and they content doing that.
So, especially when their shots aren't going. You guys have talked about this a lot. It's like when they're not getting off on the offense.
There goes the defense.
They just shut her down.
No, totally. It's one end of the floor, and that's it. I mean, that thing last night and the play that set Morris off, Brown misses two layups. The ball comes the other way.
And he loafed.
Miami ends up getting a basket in transition, and there's Brown just kind of, you know, jogging up the floor.
And Morris immediately... Claps
yes,
at him.
Let's go.
And Stevens calls a timeout. Brown goes to the bench and doesn't come in for, like, I don't know, long stretch. He got benched.
And he deserved it. So the nothing bothers me more than the sense of entitlement. Nothing bothers me more. I hate seeing it in Tatum. I hate seeing it in Brown. I hate seeing it in any player in any sport. Any person, for that matter. The sense of entitlement drives me bananas.
Give me one more Barkley there, Stu.
All teams, like I had a Mark West,
would make you think about changing.
But was it, who could go the whole game and not get a shot? And
but he affects the game.
Going to affect the game, but not complain and yeah. not pout. Yeah. You have to have guys like that. You look at what the Warriors. Like Draymond is a great defender, and he's content to play great defense and rebound the ball. Last year they had David West, they had JaVale McGee, Zaza Pachulia, all those guys. Because those three guys are going to get all the shots. And with the Celtics, those guys, I told you coming into the season, Tatum and Brown wasn't going to say, hey, Kyrie and Gordon, y'all take all the shots. Because they think they're better players than that.
So true. But
he's got it right.
But Tatum has that offensive talent, so he has the right to feel that way. Brown? He's still developing his offensive game.
Correct.
Defend and rebound. I mean, and he doesn't feel like he wants to do it.
No, and score in transition. Like, you're going to get your points, too, right? You'll get your points, but they're not coming first. So just accept the reality of it and move on. You're still a kid. You're a role player. And again, some of this falls on Stevens. This has got to be drilled into the kid's head. You're not getting it.
Okay. A little bit of Celtics from last night. I think it's worth it. A little bit of Bruins from last night. I think it's worth it. Your phone's on everything coming up next. It's our long commercial-free segment, and I have a giveaway for you as well, so don't leave your radio.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
My brain is wired for contact. I would say in some ways it's become callous to some of the hits. And, you know, based on all the pliability treatments I do, you know, my muscles just absorb the forces and disperse the forces as well as they ever have. So I take hits better now at 41 than I did when I was 25.
It made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. It was, you know, and I have to say it, it was very irresponsible for Tom to talk like that, okay? My brain's wired for contact. So what, Kevin Turner's wasn't? Junior Seau's wasn't? Justin Strelzniak's brain wasn't? Andre Waters' brain wasn't wired for contact, but yours is? So it was very insensitive, and I thought irresponsible to talk
Well, so,
like
I mean, he's claiming his brain exercises and the TB12 method can wire your brain for contact. Do you believe that?
I don't. I haven't seen it in the medical journals. Right, it's in his book, right? But I haven't seen any other scientists back it up and validate it.
All right, Ted Johnson, former Pats linebacker, on our show yesterday said that and garnered a little bit of mention. So if you want to circle back to that, you may. It's an agenda-free Friday, so everything's on the table. Just like that, Maz has picked the Patriots. In case you were waiting for that release, I sent out the release. We alerted the media. The TV trucks were out there.
It went out on the wire.
Sorry if you haven't heard.
Byron Barnett says hello.
Phil and Malden, your thoughts.
Thanks, Mike. I loved your opening comment with the helmets. Reminded me of Felga, you're Luke Skywalker, and Maz is Chewbacca. And I'm going with you, Maz. We're going to chew them up and spit them out. Thanks again for the call.
Okay. Good take there.
Yeah, don't get too excited. Was it Phil? Was that his name?
Yes.
Yeah, don't get too excited because I think the Chargers are better than you if you want to know the truth.
So that's just dangerous. You know,
it is dangerous.
I mean, that's where I'm at. Like, you admit the other team's better, but you're picking the Patriots because of all these extraneous factors. And the home thing is, I'm sorry, the home thing is important. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and I just think that the bye is also huge. You're talking about older players here. And so that's the part that ultimately resonated with me this week. For older guys, Brady, Gronk for his position is older, and Edelman. Like, those are your key guys. They all got a week off, all of them.
And this is where I'm at with Maz, too. Like, don't get it twisted. I still ultimately don't believe in this Patriots team and actually winning the Super Bowl or even getting there. But for this week, with the bye, those players get to recharge, especially Brady and Gronkowski.
Okay. Andrew in West Roxbury, a thought on that pushing match last night between Morris and Brown.
Hi, guys. I'll be real quick. Jim just brought it up.
It's about Kyrie. You can see in the video, Kyrie is shaking his head at Jalen just in total disgust. And I just want to say, I don't think there's a trade that we could do this year that could impact the team big. I think it's really up to after this year with Kyrie, if he re-signs or not. I mean, his word doesn't mean anything. I mean, we don't know if he's going to re-sign or not. If he doesn't re-sign, we can re-sign Rozier, try to trade for Davis. I mean, it really depends on Kyrie.
Okay, and, but I disagree about this year. What's your future? Your future is, and this is what you're building towards. This is a 10-year plan. This ain't like the last time. This ain't the Garnett thing where it's a 3 to 5 year window. This is, they want this to be a generational thing, and they should. And they built a generational thing. This is what they're building. Gordon Hayward, you signed as your marquee free agent. Jaylen Brown, you took third overall in the draft and has developed him now into 3 years. And that's your future, right?
Yeah, and Tatum.
So right now, yeah, Tatum, obviously. But I'm talking about, I see.
Are you talking about guys in the same position?
Like, you know, yes, exactly. Like the log jam and the fight for minutes and shots and all that. I sort of put, maybe I shouldn't, but I do put Tatum a little bit to the side because I think he's clearly established as an elite offensive guy and he is going to get his and he should get his. I still have concerns about where his head's at, but I sort of look at Morris, Brown, and Hayward as one sort of grouping. And it's just too much. There's too many there. There's too many. And Morris has absolutely been the best of the bunch. I think he's been your second or third best player at worst. And the guy can he shoots a ton, but he can shoot whenever he wants as far as I'm concerned. Because he's dialed. Yet he's sort of blocking those other two. And so, I don't know. I mean, I think something has to give in that grouping.
It does.
They're not trading Hayward, okay? They just signed him. And so, what do you do there? If you trade Morris and you give Brown more minutes and more shots, do you get more out of him? I guarantee you do. And that's the future. I think that's something they got to consider.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that.
Are you going to trade Jaylen Brown, the guy you took third overall and who's the future, so you can get Marcus Morris for half a, you know, his half a year here before he goes to free agency? Is that a smart, like, long-term play?
No, of course it isn't. No, I just have a hard time doing it and then, you know, pacifying Brown in the process. Like that, so that's how you do it now. Is the you know, the 21-year-old kicks his feet and stomps, and you trade the other guy and give him what he wants.
No, I hear you. I hear you on that, Matt and Hull. Your thoughts?
Hey, Felger, what's up, buddy? First time caller.
What do you got?
I'm calling about Jaylen Brown. His major issue is, first of all, they need to get rid of his 1982 Daisy Duke shorts that he wears every single night. He runs the court like he has a loaf in his drawers. Terry Rozier dribbles the ball between his legs at the top of the key every single time with the ball. His one pant leg, I mean, it's a joke. They think because they had a half decent season last year that they're entitled to whatever.
Exactly, Matt. I'll just cut you off. Their second unit should be better than ever. Look at their back-to-back records in previous years. It's phenomenal. 8-2 last year in the second night of back-to-backs. That's hard in the NBA. And again, we haven't looked it up the year before, but I remember, like, you know, Grandy and all these guys, every time that they have a back-to-back and they win, you mentioned this record, they have this great record on the second night of back-to-backs. And now there's, now they've never, they were in this spot where they've never been better 1-10. And they're worse, they're 2-5 on the second of back-to-backs. What is that?
It's guys taking the second night off. I mean, again, how else do you explain Jaylen Brown last night?
So I'm sorry, Jimmy, I missed it. The year before, they were 8-5. So in
and this goes back to Isaiah Thomas.
16-17, they were 8-5. Last year they were 8-2. Now they're 2-5 with a better team. Again, how does that happen?
Yeah, entitlement. Guys think, you know, it's back to back. We're a good enough team. We can shut it down and I take it easy. We're tired. We don't feel like playing. To me, that's what it is. I don't know any other way to explain it.
Will in Los Angeles on the Patriots game plan. What is it, Will? What should it be?
Look, they obviously need to come out of the gate and put Brady in the shotgun with you know, empty backfield, because if they can let Brady get an early look at these matchups on the running backs and the tight end, and he beats them and he does his best Tom Brady impression and just goes down the field and scores, it'll force Anthony Lynn into making some game time decisions. So we'll get a real look at this guy to see if he's legit or not.
I'll tell you what, let me just stop there because I think that's an interesting point. Wouldn't that be just like the Patriots to do that, to go empty? And Brady in the shotgun, when all week we're talking about 6-7 defensive backs, them inviting you to run Devlin and Michelle, and like that's the talk, right? That's how you combat a light defense, and you get after nickel and dime fronts. You run at it, and they can run the ball this year, and they're the first round running back, and this is when we're going to see. Like, everyone's talking about this week. Wouldn't that be just be so Bill to come out empty, Brady in the shotgun, and spread them out
five wide,
right? Like, isn't that so them?
No, totally, and it wouldn't shock me either because I could totally see them doing that, given you know the mentality of the coach and the quarterback.
Well, I mean, I'm all for running this week. I think it's the right play this week, but I never want to take the ball out of Brady's hands. He's your best player. It still begins and ends with him.
I do. I think that bye is huge
to me.
I think it's huge.
Brady in the shotgun five wide is never the wrong call ever, ever.
No, he'll find the right matchup to go to.
Let's see. That's part of what makes it so interesting. Dan in Rhode Island on the Bees. Go, Dan.
Hey, I was at the game last night, and I wanted to comment on the goaltender. I do think if we had Raskin net, we would have won the game. However, Halak came up with some really tough saves, so maybe if he gave up on the tough saves and gave us those easy saves, it might have come out the same way.
Well, I mean, I get on Rask constantly for this, that he has a good game, he makes good saves, and then there's a backbreaker somewhere in there. And it's like, well, if you're an elite guy, you make all those saves. You make them all. And you steal a win, and you walk out of there. So I'm not going to give Halak a pass for the saves that he made.
He can't give up that third goal.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
You can't give that goal up.
The difference is he makes $2 million. Tuukka makes $7 million. So, like, your backup, I guess, quote-unquote, is supposed to do that. But I don't blame them for not going for Rask. I mean, you made a great point. Rask is 0 for his last, whatever, 10, 12 against the Capitals, and he's on this hot streak. He's feeling good about himself. Guarantee that he continues to feel good about himself today.
Oh, yeah, no. To me, that's what it was. They protected him.
Don't even let him play.
Yeah. Yesterday when we were on the air, and I know we didn't get to it, it was one of the first things that popped into my head. They were protecting him.
Eric, quickly on Tom Brady and his calloused brain. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, how you doing? First off, I want to say I am a Brady Bobo, just like Murray. But I definitely, what he was saying, what Brady was saying about, you know, the whole, you know, absorbing hits. I mean, yeah, that was ridiculous. But what I think is, I don't think he, never once did I hear, at least, what he was talking about was head injury or trauma doing, I mean, or CTE. I never heard that. I heard that.
When he said my brain is calloused, what do you think he means? He said my brain is calloused.
You know, I don't know.
What do you think?
To me, I don't know.
What do you think?
My brain is calloused. Maybe that.
You know what a callus is?
He shut it down in his head that when he takes a hit that he doesn't feel it, you know, in his body. I don't think he ever said once that he was taking a hit to his head or,
you know, I've heard this. Yeah, okay, Eric, I got it. I got a few emails on this, too, that he was talking about. He's wired his brain to make his knee flexible, that he wasn't talking about his brain. He said, my brain is calloused. And no. I will give you reams. And I put this in our show notes. We don't have to go into it. I will give you reams of quotes from Tom Brady talking about preventative brain injury exercises that he does.
Right. Yeah, playing his like $14 a month Sudoku games. This is how his brain is calloused up. That's what he meant.
He used to endorse a concussion water that he said could help prevent concussions until the government stepped in and said, cut it out. So he's been on this kick for a long time. My brain is calloused. What do you think he meant? I know what Ted thinks he meant. That's clear. I know how Ted Johnson read it. That's how I read it, too.
People get offended about this. Two things can be true. He's the greatest quarterback of all time, and he's also a kook.
Well, he should drop the head stuff. Like, all the other stuff, you want to tell me to stretch my back out? Fine. There's no harm there. If pliability is a fraud, then no one gets hurt. All you've done is stretch. No one's the worst.
Right. People are more rubbery.
You know what I mean? So it's like, there's really nothing to lose if that's a false claim. If the head stuff's a false claim, that's different. Like, he should drop that end of it, I think.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.